You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Take a pause from your to-do list with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
If you want to be my friend, you had better go and get a pen.
Go get it.
Maybe we could keep in touch. Like we did in the old days, it wasn't so long ago. And I wish you oh,
sign your pen pal.
You hit it.
You do this?
You hit the celestial
note.
Do you
do this when you're singing? When you sing?
Yeah, you have to. If you're serious about singing, you have to do that.
So that you can't hear it in your monitor.
Darling, me close one more door. I don't wanna hurt anymore. Stay in my arms if you dare. Must I imagine you there? Don't walk away from me. I have nothing, nothing, nothing if I don't have you. You only my darling. Sergeant.
Sergeant.
Listen, was that beautiful? This is when I wish we had a camera on Lissa. She's crying blood.
She's got the stigmata.
Beautiful.
Right?
Right.
Honey, my darling.
I don't know why this took me to Whitney. This took me to Whitney right away. I don't know why.
Yeah. But do you remember, she goes into that low register in the in-between. She goes, yeah, there, but she goes, yeah. If I don't have you, she goes, honey, my darling, if I don't.
God, I got to rewatch Bodyguard. Too early for Elliot?
Not early enough.
Should have already shown it.
Yeah, I was Elliot's age.
Catalog.
I think I might have.
Elliot's age when I saw it.
There was some movie I just thought of the other day that I was like, oh, I wonder if that's too soon. I can't remember.
I tried to watch.
I don't know if she. Well, too soon as in, I don't know, will she appreciate it? Like something like A League of Their Own. Would Elliot be like, oh my God?
She would appreciate. I was six when I watched A League of Their Own. I was obsessed.
Does she like being scared? I think I've asked you this.
No.
Okay. I tried watching
it. The new one.
I tried starting part two. Big Mouth with my 11-year-old niece because I was like, yeah, it's about like
11,
preteens
12,
and
13.
Changing bodies. And it is unacceptable to watch with an 11-year-old. I mean, in the first 30 seconds, I was like, sorry, Phoebe, we're not watching this.
I made a wrong decision.
This was a huge mistake.
Yeah, I'm cutting my losses now.
Don't do. Yeah. Also, no BoJack.
BoJack Horseman. What? There was some movie I thought would be fucking great, and now I cannot remember.
Goonies.
We've watched Goonies.
Never-ending Story. That might be too scary for her.
A little scary. I don't know how far we got into
Autex and the Swamp of Sadness.
I know. We didn't get to that point. I think she was uninterested. And I think we started big, and then she was just like, I just don't care about this. I think she also maybe felt weird that he now lived alone in the city. Also, that kid just went into New York City to, like, give Tom Hanks stuff and, like, went back home. And his parents were like, you got on the bus into New York City and came back? Like,
kind of crazy. My dad used to do that all the time growing up. They'd go in.
So crazy. Yeah. But maybe that's nothing.
Adventures in Babysitting?
Is that for kids?
It was.
Elizabeth Shue?
Yeah.
It by those standards then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember what it was, but I thought, it really towed a line as like, oh, maybe that's for kids. Maybe that's not
Secret of Nim
for a kid. No, you're not going to be able to guess it. That's not a real movie. Adam Caton Holland listened to an episode and he said, Rory, you have to watch The Snowman.
You would love it.
He said it's only a half hour.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Dun, 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 dun.
Go on.
Dun, 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 dun,
and then you do Whitney to that.
Dun, 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 dun,
and then out of nowhere, I have nothing! Nothing!
I can't build you.
Take a little break, come right back.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to come back?
We are.
We'll see you right back here, okay? Right here. Come right back.
Okay.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Let's go to the letters!
Hey, you want to make the New Year's resolution that we...
name the bird?
Yeah.
Which one do you want to do? This one.
Get in there.
Shut up. You shush. Oh, I don't like this one already.
Why?
It says Dana Van Kannel and Rory Moriscory, and that's not the correct order.
It's the right order, but I don't like it.
How creepy. Same stationary
card.
Card. That's the last episode we did, I think. But when is what? Maybe this is out of order? This is Jan 10, folks. Here we go. Oh, it is wrong. My dearest Daniel and Rory, what a way to start the year.
On the right foot.
Lately, I have been thinking about parenting and siblings. I saw this funny meme once that said, once you finally figure out how to parent your first child, it's not helpful at all for your second. And this is so true. I am a mother of two boys. My oldest son, Elliot, is vastly different than my youngest, Oliver. Elliot is a hyperactive, artsy soul with a brilliant mind. Oliver is more goofy as well as stubborn and a brute. Seriously, he is already beating up his older brother at the ripe age of 2.5 years old. Elliot also
15.
Yeah. Elliot also has autism and ADHD, and boy, has that been a huge challenge. Learning how best to parent a tiny human being with their own personality is one thing, but adding a disability on top of it is another. Sometimes I wonder if I am carrying out the specific way I parent Elliot to the way I parent Oliver, and will there be any consequences of that? I'm sure I can't be alone in this feeling, and or that I am the only parent doing this. Do either of you think it's possible that you were raised in a way that was better suited for your older sibling, or did your parents adjust to a special style just for you? Rory, I know you have siblings, but I'm not sure about Daniel. Love and always pondering mom, Chelsea. Yeah, we're in a different boat here. You being the eldest, yeah. Me being the second eldest of many. Daniel is the eldest of three.
Yep.
I guess you won't be able to. I guess you have to wonder the opposite of the question. Mm-hmm. Did that change? What's the age gap between you and your next brother?
2.5 years. 3 years.
Was there a time when you sort of felt like, hey, I'm not getting treated the same, or there's like a leniency? It's usually a leniency.
We also just have like very different personalities.
Yeah.
Are you and your sister similar as people?
I guess.
If you worked together, would you eat lunch?
I don't know if she'd invite me to the table.
I mean, to like run to Qdoba or something.
I don't know if she'd let me go with the group. Fair enough. Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot that we're similar on. I think we laugh at similar things.
Yeah.
Same. I don't know if we're drawn to the same entertainment. I don't know if we're drawn to the same stimulation for stuff.
Because I think part of probably parenting.
Yeah.
Multiple children. But having to come to terms with the fact of like, this kid is not like that other kid.
Yeah.
In terms of what they'll eat or what they're. Their risk assessment.
Yeah. Right?
You see that a lot.
And you only know that when you get to the second kid.
Right.
What the first kid was really like.
It must serve you for a loop when the third one isn't like either one of these two assholes.
Yeah.
And you're like, what are you?
Yeah. There's a lot of times where the third kid is like the angel and they're like, oh, finally we get a little break. These other two are fucking assholes.
Yeah. In terms of also like sleep schedule for an infant and stuff like that. Like,
this
is so different. This is way harder. This is way easier.
Right.
But I even feel like with my nephews, I am an uncle to them in different ways.
Yes.
So I do try to realize like what one wanted to do with me and was thought was fun at age 12 is not necessarily the same as the next one at age 12. And the way in which I relate and speak to them should also be different.
You know?
It's funny when I was talking to one of my nephews and it was like a new school year. And I said, are you the one that's older than them? If they were doing something, you could kind of be like, come on, knock it off. You want to do this, you know?
Yeah.
But this one, I said, are you going to do choir anymore? And they're like, no. Like, you're not doing choir. You love to sing. You sing all the time. And he goes, just don't have the passion. And I was like, This conversation's done.
Got it. And then he flicked his cigarette and he walked in back into the house. And Tina was like, oh, dude. He flicked it at you.
Ow. My other nephews, none of them speak in that way.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And certainly didn't speak in that way at that age.
Sure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That were like, I just don't have the passion for it.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you are such a thoughtful little kid.
Yeah.
That you've thought about this a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, and this is kind of in the world of this question, but maybe not, or this discussion. But you know what's interesting is sometimes thinking about the reincarnation of souls and how you maybe stay within proximity of, like, you know, maybe you're not, like, so far out away from, to the point where you don't know if you're talking to what maybe once was your dad or what once was a different grandmother.
Sure.
Or
yeah.
I often wonder that, like, when, like, the bond that you and Rosemary have, you actually don't know if at some point she was your dad and you were her daughter. Like, you don't know, like, what your soul might
or
have
been. We were like a major and a lieutenant together.
Some connection as to why these two souls have this bond.
Yeah.
That isn't just because it's a grandmother grandson. Like, sure, that maybe is an influence, but something beyond that.
Yeah.
It's funny to think that you're talking to that nephew and, like, almost him being like, I just don't have the passion. And you'd be like, okay. And you're like, oh my God, I think this kid's older than me. Like, because maybe they were.
Yeah. And maybe we've had a conversation 150 years ago, like by candlelight, where they're like, I no longer have the passion for this.
Yeah, that same moment occurred.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're just like, oh.
And I'm like, but you can't, your first chair. Like, we're arguing about them leaving the orchestra in Boston or something.
Yeah. Breaking the violin. No! Yeah, that's so, it's there is a strange thing in parenting. Now, granted, I'm coming at it as the parent of one child, but
you thought about
I've
it.
I've seen
sure.
it, sure, and I've seen it. Like, there is this strange recognition that the personalities of your children just are what they are, and it's and I think science has come to tell us that it's not even necessarily based in genetics, and it's not even necessarily based in influence, that there are elements of who you are, and this is why I think it's very interesting to consider the past lives and souls moving around.
Great movie.
There is an element of, you know, certain elements of Daniel Van Kirk that were already in place despite being a family that lived this way, in this region, in this area, that you just are who you are, and it didn't have anything to do with the DNA of your family. It had nothing to do with the genetics of your father. It had nothing to do with the genetics of your mother. It doesn't, your grandfather's out of the equation. It literally was just already in place. And I think there's just nothing you can do about it. I think that's why some families, you know, you see a family that gets along so well, you can't even fully understand. I certainly cannot understand it. My family has so much friction. And then other families that see a family like mine has so much friction, like, I don't understand it. And you're almost like, and there's no fixing it. You can't, it's just, these are forced personalities, you know? It's these friction families that came up with the slogan, you can't choose your family. Right. That's not, there's no family that was getting along that came up with the slogan, you don't choose your family. Like, no one would even say anything like that. It's the families that don't get along. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's just what people's personalities are. You choose to either keep the peace or not. And I mean, that's, you know, would you say there's a vast difference between you and your two brothers? Would you say there's a vast difference between your youngest brother and the two older brothers? Would you say there's a vast, like, it's just what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think too, like, if you're having a second kid and you're aware of this, if you're debating having a second kid, are you kind of like, hey, do you want to do all this again and not know what it's shouldn't think it's going to be the same as this.
Yeah.
And then I wonder how it is for multiple kids.
I think that's what excites people to do it.
You have multiple kids, and you, as they grow up, you realize that, not that the love is any different, but you do get along with one of them more. You have a similar interest with one of them more.
Yeah.
And you still, I think if you're a good parent, you share in their interests. It should be way more that you are sharing in their interest than you forcing them to share in your interest.
Well, you just share your interest, but you shouldn't push them towards it. You can always, like, guide them to be like, hey, try, like, a thing. But, you know, it's the you're not teaching your kid how to be your kid. But your kid is teaching you how to be their parent. Yeah, and so sure. you That's have to go into it like, oh, yeah, what do you need? How should I be? Now, I say I have given that. I didn't come up with what I just said, and I've given it to many new dads for sure, our mutual friends who maybe are having a kid. I've always said that. Like, remember that. Keep it in mind. It's hard to do. It's a hard thing to, like, execute. It's just kind of like knowing where the top of the mountain is. It's like, all right, so aim for that, and maybe you you'll get there.
What I
always
think about is that story that you've told here years ago where you were driving somewhere with Ellie, and you got, like, really upset about something that had spilled.
Yeah, it's a chapstick.
And she was like, chill out.
Yeah.
And it was her telling you, like,
yeah,
parent me this way, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't, what?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Yeah. And then you... To your credit, not that you weren't upset and pissy, we're like, okay.
I did.
Hold on.
Yeah. Well, I was upset about, you know, thinking about my dad, and I was like in this headspace, and like, and so I did like realize like, oh, to your children, you have to just tell them, you know, you have to apologize. You have to teach them humility through example. You can't be their... You're not a dictator. You're not an authoritarian. You're not meant to be on this planet to because you brought a human into it, that you brought someone into the world that you get to tell them what to do. That isn't what... that's not what you're doing.
A lot of time it was that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were... I mean, I love my family, and I know you do too, yeah. but we were treated like that. We were treated like an authoritarian.
We don't do that.
Where it was like, exactly, we don't do... And you're like... You know, people had different theories on how you create boundaries and translate and communicate those boundaries. But, you know, I think we're getting more and more as a type of people that, especially fathers, I think, are getting to a point where you realize, oh, it's not it's not this classic 1950s version of I go to work and I come home and there's food on the table and the wife is raising the kids and cleaning up and she's got the food ready. And
what a dream.
And I get to walk in and just eat the food and be a little too strict with the kid. And they're kind of afraid of me. Like, all of that is now not there. And that's now dad's being more proactive in the rearing and raising of children. And I think it's better.
Never saw
I
the
think
example, kids are starting to. You never saw the example of the mom and kids having a great time and the mom going, oh, my God, guys, wait till your dad gets home.
Yes.
It was never.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly.
It was never.
And immediately fear.
Guys, wait till we get to share this great moment. When your father gets home, we're going to have this
You're
great
gonna
moment.
You're going to smile. Right. You're going to really smile.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I look at it like, I know we're a little off topic, which is what we do.
That's what we do.
You know, with like. My child with Elliot, it's I don't want to have the same relationship with her that I had with my dad. I'd rather point out the things that I wish my dad provided or that I wish I would have had the wherewithal to communicate to my dad to affect that relationship more positively. I try to think, well, how can I influence my child to truly tell me the worst thing, knowing I will be here as a point of information or, you know, whatever, suggestions on, you know, advice. Like, I'd rather my kid never be embarrassed or ashamed or scared to share something with me. And like, you know, over time have a relationship where it's like, this is my dad, but it's my friend. This is my friend, dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I see that in you and Rosemary a lot where it's like, we're driving drinks, we're playing cards, we're spending time together. You know, that you really think about it, like that's your grandmother and you're her grandson, but still there's a social element there that transcends the decades of age that separates the two of you. She's what, 80s, 90s? 93. I mean, you're talking about 50 years between the two of you. You are not yet born. If you're her, you're not born for 7 more years.
Right.
That's crazy. That's so crazy to think about. But yet... Here you are, you're friends. You're able to bridge that space with just having a healthy relationship where you're willing to talk to each other.
Yeah.
And so you aim for that. And I think you hope to have that with all your kids. But in regards to this, it's no lie. It's not something that the two of us can relate to. But I don't know what it's like to have a second child in general. I definitely don't know what it's like to have a second child that is beating up the first child who has a disability.
And that child's too young to understand.
Yes. I will say, you know, in trying to communicate something that isn't a fact but a possibility, is that You may find that that second child grows up and becomes the most go-to-bat for my older brother kid. Like, you don't fuck with my brother, I will fuck you up. You see that in a lot of families. It was very endearing when, one sibling is, like, die-hard, ride-or-die with their brother or sister. Which you might see that, but I feel like I do see a common trait a lot of times with a firstborn that's very gentle and loving and a secondborn that's a little bit of a hellraiser. And it's just what it, you know, it's just what it is. There's nothing you can do about it. I like this letter. I like talking about
parenting. I do too. I find it interesting. I think, wouldn't it be sort of like, I don't want to say bummer, that's mean. Like, if you had one kid and, like, they get up in the morning and you're like, what, did you get in a fight with your hair overnight? Right? And then they go, looks like your hair beat you up, right? And then the second kid comes out and you're like, oh, look who also got a fight with hair. And they're like, stop making fun of me. And it's just two complete different ways in which they handle.
Yes.
And then you have to be like, oh, this one.
I can't talk to this one the way I talk to this
one.
Yeah. Which is fine.
Yeah.
It seems difficult, but at the same time, you've been around five friends and you kind of cannot fully.
We have comedy friends who do not want to get fucked with.
They don't want to get fucked with.
We have other comedy friends who are like, do you guys not like me?
Yeah. Way that I could, like, walk in and say something to you knowing that you're going to get the joke, and then you just see very endearing to this person because I don't think they'd get the joke, and so I'm not trying to start beef.
Right.
It's not that you're walking in trying to start beef with you. You're just going, oh, the endearing thing I said to you, I also said to Daniel, but our endearing thing is communicated differently.
Yeah.
And that's what we like to call love languages, right? Lissa, remember?
Oh, who's I got remember.
10 weeks to spare?
Remember that 4 months we spent together finding out what they are? Yeah, this is great. I love this. Chelsea, thank you very much. Good luck with those two boys. That's definitely not easy. We did recently discuss on an episode that Hamburger Helper can get you across the finish line. Consider that when is what. We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Rory Scovel
and Daniel Van Kirk.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at viking.com.
And we're back. Plugs and hugs. Jam 10 in 11 days. Daniel and I will be in San Francisco for the San Francisco Sketch Fest doing a live Pen Pals. So please come on out. Check out that show. We're going to be at Cobb's Comedy Club for SF Sketch
Fest. We're recording this early. We may, our guest is probably known, hopefully known by now.
Hopefully might known by known. Now. Might be known. Yeah, go to our websites. Go to SF Sketch or sfsketchfest.com. Yep. There's going to be tickets there. If you want tickets, this is how you get them. And also tell people, if you're like, oh, I'm definitely going to go to this, bring some people. Help fill that place up. Cobb's, I think, holds about 400 people. So it'd be really nice to get a nice crowd in there for us to do a nice big show and have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then
check out your tour dates at Roy
Tour Scoville. Dates, roycoville.com. Lots of shows coming up. I'm also doing some regular stuff at Elysian now. So check it out if you're LA specific.
DanielVanKirk.com. You can watch Wine Club. I'm sure it's on Amazon, Apple. It's a fun movie. Next, a week from today, you could have a chance to go to the screening if you go to @WineClub on Instagram. And then go to my dates. I'm coming to Wisconsin, like May 18th. Green Lake.
Yeah.
I know it's a long ways away, but
it's fine.
Never really, it's sort of in the between places.
You're playing so an opera house.
On there. Thrasher.
That's crazy.
It's like a heavy metal joke, right?
Yeah. Thrasher, opera house.
T-O-H.
Let's go to this ladder.
Okay, ready? You better be ready, dude.
I'm ready.
To my pen pals.
That's both of us. Is that drone? Is that a bot or drone?
It's a print.
Okay.
Party on.
When?
I went as Garth for Halloween.
Party on, Garth. You did this year? No. Are you Garth? We should do Wayne's World.
I'd like to get by now. We do Pals World, and excuse it's me? Us doing Wayne's World version of Pen Pals.
As Pen Pals?
I
as
watched, I watched that. Go ahead.
We're both Wayne.
It's Wayne's World. Okay for Elliot.
I watched that with Phoebe this past year, and she loved it.
Oh.
Loved it.
Swing. God, I missed that.
My arms are getting tired of holding this. That's what she said.
All right.
Dear. What makes a...
No.
Dear Rory. And Daniel. What makes a perfect karaoke song? It's karaoke.
It is okay. Carrie's fine.
I've...
Carrie, are you okay?
Hesitantly...
Are you going to karaoke? I thought
the same exact thing.
Carrie, are you going to okay? Carrie, are you going to karaoke?
Okay, Carrie? You've been hit by...
You've been
a smooth operator.
And then that's actually a pretty good karaoke thing. Yeah.
I've hesitantly saddled up behind that cheap mic more than I care to admit. A tone-deaf crooner desperate to delight my friends and sometimes strangers with a song that's precisely curated to charm and satisfy.
Mm.
For me, the essence of a perfect karaoke song is a vessel of nostalgia, a shared sentimental journey that adds a little magic.
Mm-hmm.
It should be recognizable but not overworn, that they are elated to remember.
Mm-hmm.
The perfect song is different every time, shaped by the unique blend of friends and the vibe of the day.
Yeah.
My favorite venue is an old Korean restaurant with private rooms in the back and giant binders stuffed full of songs that you have to sift through while friends are singing. Look for something a bit vulnerable and unexpected that defies the image people have of you.
Hmm.
If you could see me deciphering this.
Let me see that.
You want to try to bring it home, see how you do? Start there with what?
What do you think makes the perfect karaoke song? If you were going with friends tonight, what would you sing? Is there anything you would do to elevate your performance?
Your good job.
Pal Andrew, P.S. The next time you're in Chicago, get a sandwich at L&M Fine Foods. Had it?
Mm-mm.
They are sublime, supposedly. Party on.
Party on.
Andrew.
Andrew.
I think it was kind of stated in that letter, the vibe really matters. I will say, I have never been to a karaoke bar where you have a private room.
Oh, there's a great one down here.
I've never done it.
Downtown.
I've only ever been to open in a space, and everyone has to just kind of listen and bear it.
I like that more.
Yeah. The best karaoke's ever been to, as an audience member, was in Calgary.
Ooh.
Forever ago. It was like 2006, 2007. I think maybe 2006.
Okay. What were they singing?
Went with Casey Corbin, I believe, and John Doerr. I know for a fact John Doerr was there because he sang. But everybody that was going up, and I've also been to one in Vancouver, everybody that was going up did that. That's what they did.
Oh.
Like, if you went to an open mic.
Instead of a bowling league or trivia night, this was their karaoke night.
Like, if you went to an open mic in, like, let's say, Denver, and you found out about it because of the Grolix guys, and then you got there and you knew six of the people on the show, that audience is going to walk away from that show going, oh, all those comics do that. Mm-hmm. There was no one winging it, trying it, right. Blah, blah, blah. And that was these karaoke where literally people would go up and every time you'll be like, that was really good. That was great.
Yeah.
And then I'm pretty sure John Doerr sang Gordon Lightfoot.
That's what I was going to make a joking guess about. You know it.
I mean, that's his thing. Gordon
Sundown?
Lightfoot. Yeah. Sundown and take care if I
find creeping round my back stair. Sometimes.
We do this again.
I think it's a sin.
Sundown. And it was incredible. But I think you got to read the vibe. You got to see what's going on. I don't know that you have to read the vibe when you're in private room with friends. I think you can go anything.
Not as much, no. Yeah, I mean, you could have them pop off. They're like, oh, but that's of getting an entire bar. Like, at High Plains last year, the producer for All Fantasy Everything sang "Sugar, We're Going Down."
Yeah,
and I'll be your number one with a bullet.
Dude, everyone loved it.
Place. Went nuts.
Yeah. I mean, it's so weird because there's this little space where someone would go, well, I'm not going to sing that. But what you don't realize is that this weird song that sets the place off. I guarantee if you went around and asked people, hey, back when that first song came, that song first came out, did you even like it? Most people went like, I didn't really care about it. Yeah, whatever.
It was emo,
but I mean, emo. They might have been sure. But they maybe don't care.
Yeah.
But now. Because I was going to, because that's like 90s or early 2000s.
Early 2000s.
I went to a party. They had a 90s cover band, and you kind of forget how fun 90s music is in that setting that you kind of forget, like, oh, actually, if you want the right group, a lot of 90s choices are going to crush.
Well, we talked about this with Deirdre. What did she say her song was?
Four Non Blondes.
Four Non Blondes.
Which is 90s.
Which was also saying at that,
of course,
that party.
It was. And I said.
And they had this woman came up and sang. I mean, if you would have closed your eyes, you'd have been like, oh my God, she's here. Wow. It's happening. Like Four Non Blondes, it's happening. This is the band.
That's a great voice.
It was incredible. But 90s songs hit really well.
Dude, Jumper?
Yeah. I talked also about played that one at too? That party.
Really? Of course. Why I saying really?
But it's the karaoke.
Like Langston Kerman did Tevin Cole, Can We Talk?
Oh, okay. How was
Can
that?
Can we talk for a minute? Girl, I want to know your name.
There you go.
Can we talk? It really does help for a minute.
I don't. Yeah, it does.
And it destroyed. Dude.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the thing about that is, people who know it are like, oh, shit. Because
you gotta be surprised by the choice.
The people who don't know it, the great thing about that song is, by the second time you do it, you know the word.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know
yeah.
those
yeah,
words.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so easy.
And now you're in as a group.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I also like it when people get impressed by the choice because they didn't. Karaoke, like a good song, is like, oh, I didn't know I wanted to hear that.
Yeah.
Like, you're number one with the like, I would have been there, like, I would have never, if someone said, do you want to hear that? I'd be like, no. And right. then it comes on, I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do, actually.
Brandy, You're a Fine Girl is always up at the cabin. I mean, you're tipping Cabin Supremes all night, dude, and they start doing karaoke down to the bar.
Cabin Supremes. Remember after Almost Famous, you know that had a long run at karaoke. Yeah, you know the people, Blue Jean Baby. And you know everybody couldn't wait for the, the moment where the whole plane starts singing, or the whole bus joins in.
Yeah, that's huge.
Close,
do you have any go-to karaoke's? That's a great thing that you said, though, really quick about like making people realize, oh, I didn't know I wanted to hear this.
Yeah.
Or I think that's the case. I know this song.
Yeah.
That's big.
Yeah.
There's songs, karaoke songs I'll do when we're up at the cabin
that
you can't do in LA. They just won't hit.
Yeah.
One time I was at a bar in Chicago. It's a karaoke bar. They do it every night of the week. And it was probably July or August.
Yeah.
It was the right time. It was about 12:40. Everybody there has definitely drunk.
Yeah.
And somebody just started singing Silver Bells, the Christmas song.
Yeah.
And the place just went, just Silver Bells. And then everybody drunk goes, Silver Bells.
It's really kind of fun. Yeah.
It's Christmas. And it wasn't Christmas time. And man, I will shamefully admit, I tried to recapture that a couple times when I saw this person do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they knew the power they wielded, like that it would hit right. But I've never tried again. But maybe in the next year or two, maybe once or twice, I tried.
Yeah.
I never had it hit. I had people be like, it's a Christmas song.
Yeah.
You know, you guys know.
That's like the reading the vibe. You got to be like, all right, what is the, you can't do that. You guys should have been there. You got to do the, all right, what are the steps that have to be taken to make
even
this come
a
up?
Song like Friends in Low Places, which is a song I will sing, very common.
Yeah.
You can have a very fun, loving karaoke crowd, and that just song doesn't hit the same way it would, like if you're at the cabin or something like that, where it's like everybody knows that.
And what's the karaoke etiquette? You're not ever supposed to sing "Don't Stop Believin'," right? By Journey.
Really?
Isn't that kind of like a? Is that listen?
I don't
is
know.
That like
it's overdone. I mean, I think that you need
people
to factor
can't really
in songs.
Hit it.
Well, it was like after Old School. Total Eclipse was that Old School? Total Eclipse of the Heart?
No, that was a Hangover.
That was Old School. Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yeah,
like cursing.
No, I fucking need you. That was at the wedding.
That was the Hangover.
Wedding Crashers.
No, it's Old School. Will Ferrell. It's at Will Ferrell's wedding in Old School.
Oh, yes, you're right.
But
the band is also in Hangover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're in Todd Phillips. Yeah.
Lieutenant Dan Band, right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Is that what it is?
No, the Dan Band.
The Dan Band. Lieutenant Dan Band is Gary Sinise's band. That's real.
That
is real.
Is that true?
Yes.
So I think that happens sometimes, right? Or shout, like songs like that have been featured heavily in other places that get overdone. But I also,
it almost seems a little hacky.
Maybe a little hacky, but also like if you get the crowd hyped, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
The thing that gets me is when people don't realize how long this song is.
Yeah.
And then they kind of like towards the end of like, I don't care. Like, you know, like, then get off the fucking stage.
I know. You know what's interesting is that my first foray into like even slightly thinking about stand-up comedy, there was a place in Greenville, South Carolina called The Fiddler, and they would do karaoke. And so many people that I used to go to high school with and like knew in like high school, people would go there and drink and hang out, and you would do karaoke. And my buddy Jason Mitchell would go up and just sometimes, instead of doing a song, would tell Mitch Hedberg jokes and just be up there doing Hedberg jokes. And when my buddy Thomas told me that he did that, I was like, wait, what? Oh my God. That's like, it was that first little light bulb of like, wait, what? Oh, that sounds great. You just go tell some of his jokes. Not like ever thinking, oh, you're not supposed to do that. But instead being like, oh yeah, you don't have jokes, but like, you're also those aren't your songs.
Yeah,
but going up be like, ah, here's
comedy
some
karaoke.
Yeah, and I like truly, I think people would be like, no one else is doing this. So that guy wanted to go up and tell some jokes, and people go, hey, stop, listen to the jokes for like a second. And they're like, now he's done something. Like, next person sings, you know, and no one would care.
Yeah,
and that was kind of the first time I was like, oh, I gotta come to the Fiddler and like do a thing. But that I think that really got me to go, wait, I'm gonna get on the microphone and try to do something.
There was a guy up at the cabin. His name was Rich. He was this big, tall, just fabulous gay dude. And he would always sing Brandy, You're a Fine Girl. That was his song. And then there was another dude that would come in and kind of like, you know, the hats that would already be pre-ripped on the pill.
Yeah.
And then he would kind of have like a puka shell, you know? And he was just sort of like, very like, I'm cool around here, you know? And he would sing one song.
Yeah.
Every time it was a karaoke, and it was Walking in Memphis. And that was his. Nice. I go walking in Memphis.
Yeah.
And that was his.
Was go-to. He good at it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That was it. I mean, he had.
And you wanted it.
He had got that like, yeah, yeah, down.
Yeah. Piano Man. It's good to have a go to.
I love the Spinners. I'll Be Around.
Yeah.
Love singing that.
I think I've talked about this before, but there was a guy in high school, a year older than us, that at parties, and this dude was like the class president, like in the government, like a student government grades. Like you just were like, oh, this guy's going to own a bank one day or do something.
That's great.
But when he was a little tipsy, he was obsessed with Billy Joel. When he was a little bit tipsy, he could sing start to finish. Any Billy Joel song that you named, and like there was no shame. He sang it, and it was good enough to where you were like, no one's gonna call him out because no one's gonna commit. Yeah. If you could tell, a little tipsy, loved it. I gotta look up what his name was, but that always, I remember you'd be going at a high school party. Ah, there's some people in the driveway.
Is there anyone in Allentown?
You would go down to the driveway with a beer and just some people standing around and he's singing a song. And when he'd finish, people would like name some songs and go, okay. And he'd like sing that one. And then you just decide you're done with it. And you'd walk off to the next thing.
There he's doing. Oh my God, I'm singing in Silicon
Valley. It was incredible that he could, knew all those songs.
Lullaby. Yeah. Good night, my Jesus.
Yes. Anyone that you named, he had it.
That's so funny. Do you remember the first time you did karaoke? I ask knowing that I do remember.
No.
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 I just would love to know.
I mean, I do.
First,
I
the
do
first
know
song that,
that
got you up there. I would love to know.
Let's just say
Seven
that
Nation
I've.
Seven Army?
Yeah. I don't know how many times I've done karaoke, but let's do say that it's. I haven't done it in so long. It's not something I necessarily enjoy, but I would say that I've done it. Let's say I've done it 10 times. 100% of the time I've gone up there to try to be funny.
Yeah.
And what's I've learned every single time that I forget is that no one wants it to be funny. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Actually, I do know the last time I did karaoke. It was on this tour in, I think, in Davenport, Iowa, an awesome bar we went to. We were definitely, like, we did not drink a lot on the tour, but this night we were toasted. Mm-hmm. Had the next day off. And we are doing karaoke. Grant Manship, my tour manager, was doing Beck.
Yep.
And I was doing, I got up there and I did The Doors because I'd done it on Josh Adam Meyer's show so many times, Roadhouse Blues. Mm-hmm. So I did Roadhouse Blues and I'm like performing it, trying to be jokey. And I'm like, at one point I open my eyes, I turn around, I'm like, oh, even the guys I came with aren't even watching this. And all I thought was like, why can't I just get up here and just sing a song? Like, why I already do this for a living, yeah. But yet still, oh, microphone? Well, let me try to work it into, let me put my flavor on it.
Man, there was a time when I would sing, this ain't going to work in LA most of the time. Montgomery Gentry's like our town. This is our town. But my first ever one was Marshall Tucker Band, Can't You See?
There you go.
That was the first karaoke, and it was in a VFW in Clinton, Illinois.
So that should work.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Two guys called their estranged wives. This was nice.
I love it.
I do too. Thanks so much for sending this in. Andrew, we wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk.
Rory Van Scovel.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.